Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Javas. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm so excited to spend my morning with you. Welcome to Mornings with Mocha. I'm your host, Kenova Shun Allen, and I'm so excited to be on the show with you today. We have an interesting topic we're going to be talking about today, and it's titled, How Far is Too Far? A lot of times we have people who are in place of authority who abuse the power and the position that they have. Sometimes it is an abuse of their authority. Sometimes it is an abuse of the power they have, the position and the role they are playing. Recently, I was on social media a few days ago, and I was looking over my sister's Facebook post, and I seen a quote on there. Not necessarily a quote, but a video that was very disturbing to me as an African-American woman, as a person in general. And it was video footage of an African-American student being assaulted by a police officer. And despite when this video was taken, it is relevant with everything that we have going on in the school system and things that we see. Well, we're asking the question, should teachers, things of that nature. So what we have is a police officer abusing his authority. Now, this officer name was Ben Fields, and he was also known as Officer Slam. So when students saw him coming into the classroom, one student who was also arrested, Naya Kennedy, said that she told the other students to take out their cell phones to videotape what's going on. Now, we know police brutality is not anything new. What we have is the technology to record a lot of things that's going on. It's not to say that a lot of the police officers are violent, are breaking the laws. We definitely have some good officers who are doing their job and upholding their duties to serve and protect. And that we also have to look at these couple bad apples who are ruining the bunch. So this officer, you can see he comes into the classroom trying to prove his authority over this student. The student was a disruptive student, and yes, disruptive students should not be tolerated at any cost, because it's disruption to the learning process in the classroom. It undermines the educator's authority. But what was so interesting about this video clip, it was a face-off that was going on Fox News with a Caucasian woman. I tried to find her name. I couldn't find it. But she was in a face-off with an African-American activist. I think his name is Quandell X. And it was very interesting to hear her perspective when she started off. What I noticed is that she said, this student was not a student of the lamb, meaning this wasn't an innocent lamb being slaughtered. She was at fault here. So what you see in this video is the officer grabbing the student around the neck and trying to pull them from the chair. When the student refuses to get up, the officer then flips the desk with the student, trying to pull the student out, and throws the student across the classroom. That type of behavior is never acceptable, especially of a law officer in a school, removing a person from the classroom. When the deputy, the chief, was interviewed, he said that there are different tactics that are used to remove someone. And he said, pain compliances to be used to remove someone if you have to use force. Now, what was going on in this classroom? The student had her cell phone out. She was asked by the teacher to put her cell phone away. When she didn't, she was asked to move to leave the classroom. When she did not leave, an administrator was called. The student still would not leave, so they called the officer. Now, what this officer is, he is a resource officer. And you have to remember that resource officers came in under the DARE program. Remember, the DARE program was a program in school that educated children on drugs and, you know, what it leads to and the dangers and how to stay clean and how not to engage in those type of activities. So resource officers are supposed to be a resource to the school. They serve as teachers, counselors, mentors, and building a rapport and a relationship. They're also called in when there are conflicts in place. In Richland, South Carolina, that school district has at least 87 resource officers. Now, across the United States, there are 82,000 resource officers. About 43% of them are working in the school system. And I think that is a great idea with all of the things that we have. This became increasingly clear that we needed help after Columbine. But if you look at it, we still have mass shootings that are taking place in school systems and where our children are not feeling safe. A lot of people are saying that our children are no longer safe because we took prayer out of the school. I do believe as a minister that some of the reason, but another reason is we need stronger laws that control gun control. But we also have to get rid of other things that are factors other than the guns. The guns is one of the issues, but you can get rid of all of the terrorists, but until you get rid of the terror, you're still going to have problems. We need to go in and see what is the root cause that's having people behave this way. And I brought that up because it's so interesting because in this face-off, we see this lady and this man going back and forth on their viewpoint on a situation. Now, first of all, this student is a young lady. Second of all, she's an African-American. Did not like in the critique of what was going on. This lady, first of all, tries to blemish this student's character by saying she was no lamb. She was no sacrificial lamb. And I don't like that type of verbiage or that type of description because a lot of times mainstream media, especially white mainstream media, when there is injustices that occurs to African-Americans, they try to paint that person in a negative light so that people won't be as sympathetic to the issue at hand so that it will not respond to the injustices that is going on. And we need to treat this as a serious situation because if you were to flip it and the shoe was on the other foot, I'm quite sure nobody would have said that about a Caucasian student who was being assaulted by a man that was bigger than her, that was abusing his power and authority in his position and being knocked around a classroom. You clearly see this young lady flying across the classroom, which is something very disheartening to me as an African-American woman and just as a woman in general. So her argument, the premise of her argument is what I had a problem with. I felt like it was rooted in ignorance and racism. She says that, you know, yes, this officer used excessive control. Yes, he should not have done that. I'm not agreeing with what he did, but this person basically was a disruptive student. And even if this person is a disruptive student, there is different systems put into place. As I mentioned before, there's paying compliances that you use, different tactics you use to remove a person that is resisting being put out of a situation. Just like the police officers, you know, they may, you know, get someone to the ground, handcuff them, and then escort them out of the premises or wherever they are. There are different tactics that they are trained to use as law enforcement to get this person to cooperate. However, what they did in this, what he did in this classroom was just not acceptable. So Ben Fields had been a resource officer for 7 years, and this stunt ended his career. He was also being investigated by the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I think it was quite fair that he needed to be fired and he needed to be investigated to make sure this student's civil rights was not being violated. So also in this video, when the lady, she argues her point, she talks about being an educator. And I agree with her. There's nothing worse than being an educator and you're in a classroom and you have a disruptive student that's stopping you from teaching in your classroom where you cannot teach, it's causing a distraction where the other students are riled up. If you've never been a teacher, sometimes you won't understand how one student can throw off the whole balance of the classroom because you spend the majority of your time trying to discipline them and maintain control of the classroom. You may have 30-some students in your classroom and it's one teacher, so you can never, you know, lose that control dynamic of the classroom. I would like to know more of why this wasn't handled in a different manner. However, the woman who's arguing her case, the premise of her case, I understand what she's saying about disruptive student. Nobody is disagreeing with her that a disruptive student is very difficult to deal with and that that should not be tolerated. But what we have to understand, that African-American students or Black students are not the only people who are disruptive in class. I've been an educator and a facilitator for a while. A disruptive student is a disruptive student no matter where you go. And I think we need to look at the culture of our students in America in general, not just Black students, because when I taught overseas, there was a total difference in the way teachers were regarded. Now, I'm not saying that in other countries the students are perfect. That's not true. A disruptive student is a disruptive student that crosses racial, ethnic groups, culture barriers, age barriers. You can have a kindergartner that is disruptive. It's not so much of an age or race issue. And that's what I disagree with. The premise of her argument was that it's Black culture, it's Black Lives Matter, it's the Democrats, it's Black children coming to school or Black people coming across people with a chip on their shoulder. That's not necessarily true. I have Caucasian friends. I think they have more attitudes than some of my Black friends. It is a people thing. It depends on your social location and your worldview and your frame of thinking and how you act as a person as far as your personality. People go through situations, and what a lot of people do not understand, that educators wear many hats. They simply do. If you're going to go into the field of education and think you're just going to teach, you're sadly mistaken. Sometimes they're the psychologist. Sometimes they're the counselor. They're the social worker. They're the absentee parent. They're the tutor. They're the motivator. They're the cheerleader. Sometimes they're the disciplinary. It's so many different roles that an educator plays. It's not just because of Black children. It's people that come to school and they may have had a bad day. They may have been growing up in an abusive home. And then sometimes it's nothing going wrong in the home. This child may just be spoiled. This child may just be used to getting their own way. Or they may be bullied. It's so many different dynamics that go into play where you can't just blame it on a culture or a race to say these people. So I felt like she was saying these people. And when she brought up Black Lives Matter, you're right, Black lives, all lives matter. But what life matters the most is the life that's being cut short at that moment. So, yes, I am for Black Lives Matter. I'm for all lives matter. But we don't see, you know, a lot of Caucasians or different people who are of European descent being shot down and being brutally attacked and things like that. We see it more so in the African-American community, Latino community. So that's why we're on this Black Lives Matter kick, because until we start saying something as a people, it's going to continue. How many cases of this has happened that have not been documented? So I think what it is now with the technology is we're now seeing the manifestation or the evidence that this has been going on, and it probably was way worse than it is now. So I think from a white privilege perspective, being a white woman, being white privilege, especially when she brought up the Democrats are ruining Black people basically for the last 60 years, we have a sense of entitlement. You try living your life every day with, okay, you're going to store your BNY. You have what's known as black tax on your back, you know. And a lot of times when people say, oh, black people just need to get over it, that they're disgruntled and that they're angry and that they're this, that usually comes from someone who has had a life of white privilege and they're not exposed to the issues, the suffering that black people endure on a day-to-day basis, the racism, the institutional biases that we have to deal with. That's everyday life to us. So I got a little offended by what she said, and I thought the rebuttal was really good that he said, you know, not only was this officer wrong in how he handled this student, but as a man, no man should handle a woman in that type of manner, where he's literally choking her, dragging her, tossing her across the classroom. And I absolutely agree with that. The other commentator, who was actually for the officer, she said that he shouldn't have got fired. And his rebuttal was, absolutely, he should have gotten fired. Not only should he have gotten fired, but they need to, the state attorney, they needed to file charges against him. And I absolutely agree with that, because if you allow one bad apple to ruin the bunch, if you allow one person to get away with injustices and things of that magnitude, what you will do is create a system for this to continue to happen, because nobody ever slapped their wrist and called them out on it. It's just like racism in everyday conversation. If we never say or do anything about the conversations that happen in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, in the private setting also, that other people never hear, then we're saying that it's okay. If you laugh at that family joke of racism or injustices or things that are not right, you're just bad. You're saying that your behavior is okay and I tolerate it. My Java listeners know that I absolutely love that quote by Dr. King, justice delayed is justice denied. So when we don't say anything or speak up about things that are not right, we're saying we are okay with that. We're saying that we're okay with injustices happening and that we're standing alone with it. We have to make sure that we're speaking up. So what was so unique about this situation, Naya Kinney, the young lady I spoke about earlier, she got the other students to videotape it. Now, that incident had three videotapes. Now, the attorney for the officer was arguing that he was in his rights, that he didn't do anything wrong, that there's a video of this student punching this officer. And it's another video before she hits him that he grabbed her first. He grabs her around the neck. So she's defending herself. And I'm not saying that this student should get off scot-free. Yes, she was a disruption in the classroom. But the way we deal with stuff, we don't assault the students and disciplining them or, you know, dealing with conflict management. So the officer, the Richmond Sheriff, Leon Lott, who's over the sheriff's officer, he fired Fields because of the deputy throwing that student, and he actually said it made it him physically sit the video footage of it. But I'm going to tell you this. It made him physically sick to his stomach because he knew the hot water that the deputy department was going to be under, the sheriff department was going to be under. I think the best thing for them to do was to fire this officer right away, not put him on suspension, not do it, fire him, because it's clear-cut evidence of this video footage of him just being very abusive with his authority and attacking this young lady. Fire him. You don't need to pin the investigation. You've done the investigation when you saw the footage. So I think he did handle that manner properly. What I did not like was the statement he said after that. The student, you know, will still have to play a role in this. But we know the student still, you know, is going to be in trouble and, you know, there's going to be some repercussions for the student. But I think at that moment, the major issue you needed to be addressing was your officer's behavior. You know, sometimes we try to use the situation as a scapegoat. Well, if they wasn't doing this, well, if they had never did that, we probably wouldn't have known that he'd been doing this type of stuff at school with other students for the longest. And this is why he has the nickname Slam Officer. What I did not like is because he went into the classrooms with the intentions and the motive to act a mess with this student because he was called and he wanted to show that he was basically the big man on campus. Clearly, when he goes into the classroom, he moves her laptop off the desk. Why would you do that? So even in the report that he filed, he said that he had to use, and I'm quoting this, muscle. Well, maybe he wasn't really paying attention to the students recording him because you can see he's actively engaged in going back and forth with this student. But the premise of his report that he wrote up was not true. In fact, in some of the stuff that he said, using muscle, that statement was true. But the way he manipulated the report, I'm not saying that he lied in the report, but he manipulated the verbiage port to favor him more so and not really articulate what he went in there and did. And if it had not been for the students in the classroom recording that, I don't know if we necessarily would have gotten the truth out of that situation. Now, this is not the only weird situation that has given me pause to ponder a lot of the things that we are experiencing in the educational system. With this being said, also there were two third graders, and they were Caucasian students, but they had disabilities. They were handcuffed to a chair for misbehaving. I'm sorry, I got a problem with you handcuffing a third grader. Not only that, this third grader has special disabilities. So, and you trying to give them straight, that never works. Even in my coaching practice, I was taught that you never coach out of fear. You never coach out of fear or try to get people to correct something out of fear because it's temporary and the effects of it is not lasting. What you could have done is traumatize these third graders with disabilities. It's okay, I think, for the resource officers to be in the school systems, and with this day, in this day of time, we need it because we've had so many tragedies in our schools. We need officers there to help maintain the control, to maintain the safety of the school and to control the environment, but they have to be properly trained where they're being an asset to the school and not a hindrance or not abusing their power and authority. And I think that's a very fine line that comes with diversity training, sensitivity training, as they say, paying compliance training, and things of that nature. I think some excessive force may have been needed to a certain degree to remove this student, but not to the magnitude it was used. This could have been done in a better manner. The rebuttal of this argument said that there should have been some type of behavior liaison there, and I do agree with that. So now the question is, should a resource officer have been called to even deal with this disgruntled student? I would say yes. Maybe not that officer. The point, as I mentioned earlier, of the resource officer is to build relationship with the students and the staff. So if you have the nickname, the Slam Officer, when you come into the classroom, no, these kids are not going to want to go with you. No, they're not. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a tricky situation. So we have to make sure that we have open dialogue with our children to let them know what type of behavior is acceptable, what type of behavior is not acceptable. I remember a time where you could not have cell phones in school, but now it's the day and age. Everybody uses their smartphone. They have them in class and stuff. Should you be on your phone in class? Not if you're not taking notes and using it as a tool to help you learn. So when the teacher asked her to put away her phone, she should have put away her phone. We're not arguing that at all, but we're arguing in which the manner of the resource officer use of force. Now, the sheriff's department also said that resource officers are not disciplinary. They are not supposed to discipline the student, especially physically. So this is a story that you definitely want to look at more into. I also want to remind you of some current events that happened recently that I was so excited to read about. Students in the Parkland area who go to Margie Stoneman's Douglas School, students are ready to walk out, and they're doing a walkout today as a call to end gun violence. For 17 minutes, the students in this school will walk out in honor of the one-month anniversary of the mass shooting in the school system. And I think that's important because the rebuttal of the man who was on the Face News, this lady was blaming black culture, black kids for all the problems that's going wrong in the school. He was like, what about these radical white kids that's walking in shooting up schools? You know, who are they to blame? Black kids aren't doing that. And I think that's very true. So, you know, March is Women's History Month. I want to honor this one lady who has inspired me. She is a Muslima. Her name is Taha Rahman. And she is a Muslima. She was the first on-air reporter to wear the hijab. And I'm so proud of her because what she says now is that she's not compromising her faith or her dream to be who she is. And I really, really love that she is an empowerment not only to Muslim women, Muslimas. She is an empowerment and an inspiration to women all across the world, because as women, we don't have to compromise who we are, our faith, to live out our dreams. A lot of times as women, we're socialized and we're conditioned to believe that we have to compromise who we are to accomplish our goals. We have to give up that desire to have the house, the picket fence with the kids, to have a career. And she's just the shining example of not compromising her integrity of her spiritual beliefs or, you know, her dream. And a lot of her mentors told her, it would be hard for you to be, you know, a Muslima wearing the hijab full-time on television, an on-air personality. America is just not ready for that. And I think America has proved her wrong. She has been getting a lot of positive feedback for just being her and standing up for what she believes in and being herself. Although she has received some criticism, she has received a lot of love and support. So make sure you check out the story on my Java board on Facebook to see who Taha Rahman is, and just go back and read her story. So she is an on-air personality for WHBF. She had 2 years experience of producing shows, and she had a dream of becoming an on-air personality, and she did not stop until she accomplished that dream. She said she researched the position that she was applying for, and she made sure she was the perfect candidate for that job. I want you to dare to keep dreaming. Don't let anything stop you or hold you back from your goals. Don't let what other people think about your culture, practices, and who and what you are stop you from being great. Remember that I'm Tanel Vashon Allen. I'm the host of Mornings with Mocha. Come out and join us March the 23rd and the 24th in Conyers, Georgia, where we're going to be hosting an empowerment conference. My time is now. Don't forget to go on Facebook.com. Look up Kewan Foster. He's sponsoring the first 4 people to inbox him to Mocha and My Coffee. My time is now. Growing greatness. I look forward to seeing you. And as always, I'm Tanel Vashon Allen. Get out there, be great, and cultivate some greatness. Until next time.